welcome to Winner Take All. We have a special guest with us today. We have Bar Jerome, the co-founder and CEO of Balance, leading B2B payments and, you know, fintech startup in the space. Bar, great to have you with us.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
So you have a lot of really impressive stats around the business and accolades, even though it's, you know, still a relatively young company. You've raised many hundreds of millions of dollars when you account for both the equity and debt that Balance has command over. You've gotten into, you know, the top 250 promising fintechs list from CB Insights, the number one in payments and commerce for Visa and Citi. I'm curious what that report is about. And you used to work at PayPal, and that's where you and your co-founder met. And then you guys went to go start Balance. Is that right? You know, what's some of the background here? I'm really excited to have you with us.
You outlined it well. Generally, my background, I'm an Israeli. I grew up in Israel, moved to New York. I lived here with my wife and beautiful kid. And yeah, like a classic Israeli, I was in the army. I was an officer in the army for 5 years, working big companies, small companies, met Yoni at PayPal, which we got very close to payments and e-commerce. Then moved to the B2B e-commerce side of the world and got fascinated with B2B e-commerce. My father had cancer and took a lot of time to see an oncologist. So I left my day job, and with Yoni, we created our first bootstrap company in healthcare. And yeah, then we made Balance a reality, which was a dream for, I want to say, 5 years before we did it. The idea was simple. Can we do an alternative for the B2C approach online for B2B? Balance is not a generic B2B payment company. Balance is focused on making an online channel successful. Online selling channel, B2B e-commerce, self-serve transactions, finishing the digitization phase. You start with taking your ERP and creating like a front end online. Balance is the second step to finalize the transaction online. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's beautiful at the look and feel. It's boring on how simple it is, but the back end is a combination of a lot of deep tech technology, of instant financing that is being done all in-house with a big $350 million facility, with payments that are robust and focused on B2B. So we're talking about the ability to do pay in, and for marketplace to do payouts without being involved in the flow of funds, all automatic, for ACH, and creating instant invoices from the online checkout experience, obviously processing credit cards, and all the way to the software side, which is there you bring the real beauty of connecting the dots of an online transaction. So milestone-based payments, managing credit notes, managing credit terms and AR all online, building the omni-channel approach. So if you go offline and online, everything is in one place. Reconcile all the payments to one source of truth. So you don't need to chase bank payments, check payments, card payments, trying to connect them to invoices. So really, it's all about creating this seamless experience that we created for the consumer space. Paying with card is so easy, so scalable. It's too much. It's too scalable. We spend too much money because it's so easy to pay. So wanted to expand the economy online by making it as easy for everyone involved and for buyers. Give them the flexibility they need from the offline space, because this is how they make payments. They have their systems, they have their processes. We don't want to disrupt it. We want to support it. We want to enable it online. And customers that are using Balance are seeing their online channel becoming more successful. That means higher AOV, higher repeat rate, everything that the industry knows well. of the KPIs you're trying to move the needle on.
So a lot to unpack in there. Let's first go to what you were saying around, you have a $350 million credit facility and you do that all in-house.
So first of all, what is NetTerms AR management? At the heart of it, the most basic concept in the economy is leverage. And the basic leverage is in transaction level. You buy something and you pay for it only after 30 days or the 16th of each month, because this is where you pay all your vendors. Now that concept creates liability for merchants, because merchants, even if they trust the customers and they know them for centuries, they still at the end need to buy something, sell it, and not getting paid for it until what we just said happens. And if you scale it, and this is what they're looking to do when they move online, remove operational hazard, but also scale the business. If you scale that liability, it's impossible to manage it unless you have a very, very deep pockets that you want to invest in AR. Most company prefers to put it in the bank and get interest rate. They don't want to be just open with customers. So balance is going to those companies and tell them, hey, first of all, remove that liability from yourself and do it in a tech fine way, not going to like an old fashioned factoring company that will take everything from you. High fees, long processes, really the worst. Everyone knows that. And the second is you can scale underwriting, and you can scale the ability to make decisions, especially on long tail buyers. What your AR department is used to do is they go to like DNB, and this score looks fine, let's do it. Or, oh, I know this customer, we know all the references on him. That's okay for the very established buyers. What do you do with all the rest that are underserved today? Balance created a proprietary technology to take existing cash flow and turn them into P&Ls in in seconds, to give credit lines in the point of purchase. So now you're giving them purchasing power, and you don't let and you don't lose them in the online space when you don't know them and they don't know you.
And when you say you do that in-house, who's making that credit decision, that underwriting decision?
So Balance has a team of the combination of data science and underwriting. From one side is the Amex of the world, the Capital One, and the other is tech people that are taking data that we have, data that is publicly available, and other different sources like open banking platforms like Plaid, to build models. So we make our own decisions. And by making our own decisions, we are essentially an extension of your team. So if you want to improve approval rates and reduce or increase losses or vice versa, depends on your margins and your business, you can do that with Balance, because Balance is a partner. It's not a third party debt provider that you send your customers to. We empower you. We empower your brand. We are the infrastructure for you to scale, and not someone that is looking at you as a distribution channel to get to your buyers. And that's a very, very big and different proposition than what exists today.
Let's compare and contrast here, right? So you've mentioned factoring. Factoring is, I have already issued, you know, an invoice, I'm waiting to be paid on this. And now I'm going to pick and choose those invoices, provide that to, you know, this firm that's going to give me some percent of that money in exchange for, you know, a VIG, right? But as you were saying, a horrible experience, very high fees. But, you know, it also makes sense, because if you think about the difference of the tech-enabled solution that you have when, as you said, Balance is doing the underwriting. But when you're doing the underwriting, because you are integrated digitally, you basically are looking at the whole pie, right? So what does that change when you think about how you underwrite as opposed to other firms that maybe are more analog where they only are looking at a sliver or certain pieces of, let's say, a B2B business's customer base? How big is that difference?
Underwriting is all about data. Data is the heart of any credit decision. In the old world, factoring companies or banks, or even tech-enabled solutions that are taking the same like approach as what we did in the B2C side, like a firm. There are other companies in this space that are just an embedded solution, but really, it's a company you need to open an account with. It's like shifting, taking the experience to them, giving lending for one side and do the payout for the other side. And so when you think about the existing solutions is send your AR to a factoring company. And then, you know, it's a very traditional company. They will look at your AR, they will make a decision, and that's it. The problem with the factoring company is that they can't evaluate new buyers. They can only evaluate existing because they don't live in real time. They don't live in the point of sale. That's one thing that makes factoring companies, putting the horrible experience aside, right? Putting the bad experience aside, they can't help you grow. They can only be a capital provider. That's not amazing. The tech-enabled solutions out there, you need to open an account. It's only relevant for SMBs. No company that is not very, very, very small would go to a third-party fintech to take a loan from. So Balance is white label powering your brand. That's a big step. The second step is the all-in-one. Balance is your source of truth. We have all the data that you have on payments. The value of reconciliation of all the payments in one place is also the value of extracting data and insights on how your cash flow looks like and how your buyer looks like. And then we can leverage that in the point of transaction for a specific buyer. So it's just more data that is available for us just because we're a payment company and not a lending company. It's a company that is putting the focus on your payment experience end to end, putting the focus on reporting, making it a platform that is the professional platform to manage transactions on top of your ERP, the payment side, the AR side. And yes, there's a component of extending terms and managing them. And that gives us just more data and more power and more presence in your organization to work in a way that is customizable for your needs.
So the other thing you're referencing there are folks that are providing the tech-enabled solution, but aren't necessarily also doing the underwriting themselves. You see this all over the space in the fintech world, B2B, B2C, everywhere, right? Where the actual underwriter of the risk is not actually the same company that is, you know, giving that merchant, that business, the technology to do instant credit decisions and payments and all these kinds of things, right? So you actually have multiple organizations involved in being able to provide to your customer credit or net payment terms. Why does what Balance is doing provide a better solution, that all-in-one solution? Why is that better versus kind of saying, well, I've got a tech startup that provides like the plumbing, and then, you know, I've got, I don't know, some big lender on the other end of that that's doing the underwriting. Why is your approach different, better, et cetera?
It's a very good point, and something that usually I don't speak about, but it's worth putting the highlight on. When you're outsourcing business decisions, you have to make sure that they are aligned with your business needs and the optimization that you want. Now, if you're working with a company that doesn't make your own decisions, you are removed from the ability to understand those decisions and change the optimization of them. At the end, you have two metrics that are pulling to each side: loss rate, approval rate. If I approve everyone, I get high losses. If I decline everyone, I have no losses, but I have no business. And each business, what we learned is that each business is different. It has their own needs. When we work in fashion and generic wholesale, which is what I like to call the third type of business model that we have, and probably 10 different B2B marketplaces in the US today doing it, they are not that margin sensitive as a steel company or a chemical company or a lumber company. And that says a lot, because the approvals are more important because of the competitor landscape. And if you're outsourcing that to like a middle layer, an affiliate, a service provider just puts a UI and send requests, and he will not be able to be a good partner just because he doesn't have the ability to control his nothing. Usually they work with banks. And banks, fintechs are nothing to them. They will not give you the time of day, not you as a customer, your fintech provider. So, by the way, I know I worked with companies that work that way. This is why we decided to do it this way. It's very hard, extremely hard to build such a company. It's building a bank and a payment company and a software company all in one. It looks simple at the end, but the complexity is super high. This is why small companies that didn't raise $100 million, it's a really hard company to build, just extremely hard. We are very, very fortunate to find partners that are aligned with our vision. And I think that's a very big piece that may be worth saying out loud as well.
From my understanding, would love to hear the update, right? I know Balance earlier on in its customer journey, and still today, has always had a lot of penetration and success with B2B marketplaces, right? We at Applico have ranked these top 50 B2B marketplaces in the US for years now, are very bullish on the segment. It's very high growth. There's, I think, as you were alluding to, a wide variety of these marketplaces in a variety of different verticals. And we're really talking about B2B product marketplaces here. Sometimes people can get confused with service marketplaces, like in the logistics or the freight space, right? But
by the way, we have those as well.
Yeah. So that was the next thing I wanted to get to. Well, that was one of the things I wanted to get to was how you see that changing. But you're also working with distributors. You're also working with manufacturers and suppliers. So you're working with a variety of different types of businesses. And so are those three models that you were speaking about, are those kind of how you think about the underwriting, or you were saying generic wholesale? How do you try and make sense and prioritize where you take this all-in-one solution versus being distracted?
That's a very, very good question. It's something that we walk alongside with from the moment we were born. B2B trade is the economy, right? The economy is so vast. It's like saying that you're doing B2B, it's like, what does that even mean? That's the economy. What are you talking about? It's like saying I'm doing whatever. I could say it's just too wide. But, and there's a big but here, our dream, I grew up on Stripe. Stripe was the company I took inspiration from. Stripe is also, important to say, one of our investors. And Stripe took an advanced tech-enabled mode of working that created the first company to make it extremely easy, doesn't matter who you are, to work with them. And we asked ourselves, and that was the first thesis that was maybe the most important question we wanted to ask, can we build the same? Can the solution be generic enough that the common denominator would be the online? Can it be done? Today, you know, I can't say we've done it. We didn't achieve. I'm not a person that will, you know, walk around and say I achieved something. But we are working with 36 different verticals. All of them are successful. So it's a young company, but I think the answer to that question is yes. By the way, every round of funding that I did was not about business metrics. It was about a question that should be interesting enough to answer. And if you can answer yes by showing it in the data, it means that there is a valid, important, life-changing company in potential. And one of those questions was, can we do that? That was the seed question. Is it possible? So our goal was to prove that we can work with different industries. So we've built risk models that are learning based on, like, you know, this becoming a bit geeky, data science geeky thing, but we developed methods that we know from PayPal about what we took for fraud prevention, for credit, leveraging a lot of different data sources that are just publicly available data sets to learn on different industries. And in the beginning, we didn't choose. Freight came to us. Big freight company wanted to enable the long tail. Then maybe the biggest service company marketplace wanted to build a B2B arm. And then, you know, your, by the way, you mentioned the 50, the biggest or the best B2B marketplace list that you have. Today, in hindsight, I think it's unbelievable that you created this thing, you and your team. Because when we started, and we grew up on B2B marketplace as a company, YC, NSF, we didn't even know what it is. We just, you know, we wanted to do B2B, going to a metal manufacturer when you're 6 months old as a company, not the smartest of ideas. So we just say, okay, who's in to do B2B? And then we found out that the software company is connecting supply and demand in just old verticals because they think they can crack something. And they did. And they had no one. No one cared about them in the fintech space because they were so small and unclear. But we decided to take it and take that challenge of B2B market-based payments. Today, it's more obvious. But when you started with the top 50 B2B marketplace, who knew it was a thing? So that's a big shout out to you and your team for the innovative approach and leading the way. And at the end, it takes time, like everything in B2B, but the direction is clear.
And is it true the company was founded in 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's okay. You haven't taken over all of B2B payments and financing in not even, you know, a full 3 years here. So I'll give you a little bit more time here, Bar, and then we can start to get a little critical of you. But, you know, you're a little shy of $100 million in equity financing raised in that time. You mentioned the $350 million on the credit facility that you are actually deploying. I know particularly a lot of the B2B marketplaces, as well as the B2B distributors and the wholesalers, the latter group has been making net payment terms decisions in-house. And, you know, the way I describe what the big unlock there is, separate from the B2B payments, right, which is, you know, just very straightforward, like doing B2B payments in these industries is just not convenient. So if you can digitize that and make it seamless, I mean, there's just huge value in that alone. Some people want to take, you know, credit card payments. Some people don't. How can you have something modular and seamless to allow that business customer who's going to pay for these transactions, which are much larger than a B2C transaction. They want to be able to pay across a much wider swath of mechanisms than a B2C customer would, right? So how you provide that convenience, but also help the merchant to not lose their shirt if they want to accept a credit card fee on an industry that's already so low margin, right? Huge value just in that alone. Then you look at the net payment stuff. And, you know, the example I've used is, yeah, a large multi-billion dollar distributor can offer you $1 million or more of credit, of net payment term approval, but they want to get 5 pages of information and they'll let you know in 1 to 2 weeks. Whereas if you can actually instead, you know, I think, you know, you guys are going up to what, $250,000 these days, maybe higher in select circumstances. But, you know, I think you guys will do what, $250,000 instant decision or up to that amount with not 5 pages, but 5 pieces of information, right? Because you have this much, you know, broader kind of AI and these credit models and so on and so forth, right? So, and I've seen the process to do those credit decisions manually. And so, yeah, if you guys can really deliver on this value prop, which you've already made, I think, a lot of progress on in such a short period of time, it really does truly transform how commerce is conducted in the heart of the economy, right? In the underbelly of the economy.
I like the underbelly of the economy. That's your next book.
Yeah. I mean, just in wholesale distribution alone, we estimate it's an $8 trillion industry. It's actually the biggest industry in the United States and also the most easily forgotten industry in the United States. It's just, yeah, it powers everything. But if you look at how those distributors are making credit decisions today, they do it internally, which is also then similar to what you guys are saying. Hey, we make that decision also in-house and we are your partner. So there's a very symbiotic relationship in that. And I think the $350 million that you guys are deploying, as this engine revs, that number is paltry. Now, that $350 million, you can actually deploy a much larger sum of money on that $350 because you're turning the money every, 30, 60 days at max, something like that, right? So you can actually be capturing a much grander amount of volume with that $350. But even that said, right, even if it's $3 billion that you could go to with that, where this thing could go, to your point on transformational kind of, you know, we want investors that see the big vision. Yeah, there is a tremendous amount of dollars that are doing things the old way. And it's a very exciting space you're in, very unique positioning that I think you've done a great job helping to illuminate how you're positioned in the market. What else are you seeing? I mean, again, given the data that you have and given the position that you're in, there's been pretty tumultuous past couple months in the financial industry in the United States. What kind of stuff are you seeing across the different organizations that you're working with?
Yeah. First of all, you and I were the same. There's a bigger mission here, which is moving B2B commerce online is so important for so many things. It's the solution for supply chain problems. It's the solution to reduce the cost of things just by connecting demand and supply. And it's also the solution for opening new markets, new revenue streams, all the business elements that common sense will tell you. But at the heart of it is to change the economy completely. And this is happening fast right now. And I think the fact that it happens fast has two elements that everyone in the industry should think about every day. Number one is that if you don't move online, online will happen regardless. Your customers will buy from their vendors online. The power dynamics of what's beautiful about the online space is that it changes the power dynamics. because everything is connected, right? If in the old world, you were connected to one vendor and that's it. This is the person you're buying your supply from. And you only know this person, and it's a relationship that your father of your father of your father had relationships with. It's no longer the case. You just look online for the MROs or whatever your product is, and you buy from someone else. Now, the better that experience will be, and you can be sure that that experience is becoming better and better every day that passes, it will be easier and frictionless to move from one vendor to the next. And, you know, history is not written in singular events. Sometimes we like to think that. There's a famous book of Thomas Kuhn. I did my master's in philosophy. And one of the books that I like was a book of Thomas Kuhn. He was a science philosopher, which was a thing. And the book is from the 50s. And he showed, the name of the book is Scientific Revolutions. And he's showing that history is being created in small increments and not in singular events like Albert Einstein with his theory of X or someone else. And B2B e-commerce is the same. It's happening all the time. Don't wait for that moment that you have to do it, because it will take time. It's changing your entire business. But it was never easier to do it. That's a positive. Now we were a bit dramatic. Now let's talk about the positive. It was never easier to do it. Today, to enable an online channel to work, there's best practices, and the tech was never easier and cheaper. The reality is that it's just not that expensive. And I think that is something that, you know, we have this perception at the back of our head that digitization, digital transformation, you know, thinking about those things that are costing $5, $10, $20 million to do, and it takes a lot of time. You need the Accentures of the world, and you need the Deloitte. Not to say anything about Deloitte, great partners, great friends, important friends, important partners for the industry. Move forward. The world is moving forward. Okay. If you want to win, you want to be ready. It's not a trendy thing that will pass. It's happening now. B2B marketplaces will eat your lunch. That's the truth. Because they have VC dollars, and because they're young and hungry. And maybe they will not be successful today. And maybe it will take 6 more months or 6 more years, but it's happening. And that's the truth that we're seeing in our business. And it's an important truth.
And tactically here, I mean, are you seeing things like, I would imagine you are, I don't know if you're seeing a trend come out of it, right? So for example, do you have a mechanism to look at it on an aggregate scale, say, hey, are B2B buyers and or merchants trying to get, rather than net 30, they're trying to get net 60. Can you see those kinds of things as, you know, credit is harder to get and seeing more of a push pull to try and get, say, let's just say, for example, longer payment terms?
Oh, for sure. I think that first of all, we are strong partners of e-commerce and others, and we are deeply connected to their ecosystem. So we get a lot of small merchants looking for terms. It's very hard to facilitate terms yourself these days. But also, we see in the data the long repayment rates, like the what the industry likes to call days outstanding, time it takes to get paid, becoming net terms is essential for small buyers. Small buyers are very common, like small transactions are very common in the moms and pops going to the fairs of the world, buying, you know, bulks of a consumer thing like pencils or whatever it may be. Net terms is, again, it's the most basic leverage that exists. And it's what you want to extend the most before you go to your bank. And there's a line, because when you're established, you just need it for your business operations. But today, cash is so important. Just by even the fact that you can take it and put it in the bank and get the 4%, that tells the entire story. It wasn't a thing 2-3 years ago. Money was something you put on the stock exchange. Now it's so easy. You take the money, you put it in the deposit, you make more money. So we're competing with that. This is why it's so important. They want to extend terms. They want to have more capital in place. Everything is more sensitive, and we should become more and more sensitive this coming year.
Do you see that as a net headwind or tailwind for your business?
It's definitely something that drives our business forward, because getting cash is just harder. Having cash in the bank is more important. And Balance is a solution that enables that in a competitive rate. Because we are optimizing for growth. So we will stay healthy, but we can be much more flexible. I think that's the key here.
Makes sense. Well, Bard, it's been a pleasure having you on. Hope to have you back again. This is Bard Giron, the co-founder and CEO of Balance. Really interesting stuff today, and congratulations to everything you and the team have accomplished.
Thank you for having me. Enjoy it very much, as always.